It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Welcome back to Naomi's Table. In our Bible study segment today, Connie Stanfill is back at the table with us, and she's here to teach on a lesson number 6, Jesus preaches in Galilee and cleanses a leper. That's very descriptive for what we're about to hear, Connie. Let's dive right in.
All right. Well, we're going to find, yesterday we talked about how Jesus performed miracles and healed people who were demon-possessed in Capernaum, and then we're going to find that he spends time with his father. And then his ministry expands. He travels around to other places because he came not just to one town, he came to all the people. So I'm going to read from Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 through 39 to start with. It says, "And arising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." We're going to find here in verse 35, it says there's four action verbs, and we get the sense Jesus desperately or very consciously sought out time with his father, because it said, rising very early, while it was still dark, he departed, so he went out, and went out to a desolate place, that wilderness-type place, and there he prayed. And so there's four verbs there telling us that Jesus was very intentional about spending time with his father. In the Gospel of Mark, three times we hear a story of Jesus praying. Here, and then later, after he'd done a great miracle with feeding thousands of people, and you get the sense that these are important times in his ministry when he desperately needs to be with the Father and hold to the Father's will, to not be tempted by what Satan or the world would want him to do, to take an easy way, because what's going to happen next is Jesus is now going to expand his ministry. He's not staying in one place. He's going to go many places to bring the message to lots of people. And then the third time that Jesus prays that's recounted in the Gospel of Mark is there in the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course, that was a very important time for him to pray because he was going to the cross and he desired to do his Father's will. We're going to find in verse 36 that Simon and the disciples who were with him didn't really understand why Jesus was praying, and also probably didn't have a true understanding at this time of what he was going to do. Interestingly enough, when you look at the Gospel of John, every time Simon or Peter is mentioned, it's never in an especially flattering light. Sometimes in the other Gospels, you know, you can look at it and say, oh, Peter's doing the right thing. Not always here. It seems more like a little bit more self-deprecating, and so you get the sense again that this was Peter's humble assessment of things. So I appreciate that. So here we are in verse 36, and it says, "And Simon and those who were with him searched for him." That actually means they hunted him down. They were seriously looking for him. And they found him and said to him, which seems to maybe have a little bit of annoyance with it. I don't know. But they say, "Everyone is looking for you." Mm-hmm. Meaning like, why would you leave when everybody wants you to heal them or cast out the demon? Or, you know, I mean, now you're getting to be well known. How come you left? You know, kind of thing. And then Jesus answered them and he said, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And so really, we're finding Jesus came to preach and teach about the Father. That's why he came. That's why he came out of Capernaum, is to do those things. And then it says in verse 39, "And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." All right, so we are really talking here about Jesus' response to Simon. And he gives an answer as to why he came, because he says to them, "Let us go on to the next town so that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Jesus understood his mission was to teach and preach and reveal the Father to people. And that's why he came. That's why he came out of Capernaum, but that's why he came in human flesh. And ultimately, he's going to come to accomplish our salvation. But the reason he came wasn't to just heal people or to cast out demons. It was more about what God was doing in human history through him. And of course, the disciples don't always understand that. There is a scripture reference there to Isaiah 61, verse 1, and it talks, Jesus read this in the synagogue in Nazareth when he taught there. He said, "The Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, the afflicted, to bring release from captivity." And again, that captivity is the sin and the oppression of Satan that each and every person is born with and born under. And so that's why Jesus came. when we look at this scripture, again, we find that word that was authoritative in his preaching is important. And then we're going to now look at another scripture, what talks about how Jesus had authority over the disease of leprosy. And I need to explain that in the Old Testament, leprosy represented uncleanness or separation from God, or in a sense is really an illustration of sin, because a person who was a leper was totally cut off from the society and the worship and the temple and even family life of the day. And that's because that's what God's word said, that those kind of people needed to live outside the camp and be away from everyone. And so for Jesus to heal a leper meant something new was happening. In the Old Testament, there's only two places where someone was healed of leprosy, and it was always through the hand of God. The first one was Miriam. When she and Aaron spoke against Moses and in a sense rebelled, God struck her with leprosy, and she was put outside the camp for 7 days and then allowed to come back and was healed. And then the only other incidence of someone being healed of leprosy in the Old Testament is the Syrian general Naaman, a pagan, a Gentile, and how he came because he'd heard there was a prophet in Israel who had great power, and that actually was Elisha. And through his servant girl, who was a Hebrew, he came and asked for healing. And initially, he was underwhelmed by his response because he was told to go and wash in the Jordan River 7 times. He's like, ah, I can't do that. I've got better rivers at home. But his servants talked him into it, and he did it, and he was healed. And so really the thought of Jesus' day was that leprosy was a disease that was not humanly curable. Only God could heal leprosy. And so for Jesus to heal a leper is something huge. It's a new event. It never had happened in this way before. It means something big is happening. But I think even to me, there's a illustration of only God can heal sin, because that's what Jesus is really doing. He's coming to heal our sin sickness. Throughout the Old Testament, we find that sin is a wound or an illness that sticks to us and we can't deal with it. Prophet Jeremiah especially talks about the wound is grievous, it's incurable. And then, is there no balm in Gilead? Meaning, is there no human remedy? And the answer is no, there's absolutely no human remedy, only Jesus Christ. And so as we go through Mark, we're going to find more and more again what that looks like as it is revealed who Jesus is and how he becomes our sin bearer. But let us read the scripture about Jesus healing the leper. Mark 1 verse 40 says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him, and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to speak freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and the people were coming to him from every quarter." As we look at this scripture about the leper and how Jesus healed him, notice how the leper came to him. And so he knew, he'd heard of Jesus. Somehow he thought that this teacher would be able to heal him. He came to him, imploring him or begging him, kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." And so he wasn't demanding healing, but he just said, "You're able. I know you can. If you will, would you make me clean?" And then we find that Jesus, it says, moved with pity. And actually, it means deep pity. And so Jesus had great compassion on this man in his plight of being an outcast from the religious life, the social life, everything. And then besides that, he had a disfiguring, awful disease that was difficult to manage. Jesus then stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will be clean." Remember, in the Old Testament, you couldn't touch a leper. And then here Jesus is doing that. And so that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And then it says, and immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And again, it's an illustration of how God works in our lives. If we're healed of our sin, we're made clean. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm going to read to you a couple of passages from the Old Testament about leprosy, just so that I think sometimes we don't understand how serious a disease this was for them. And I'll just share that when I've been in Africa, leprosy is a terrible disease. I've seen people with fingers and parts missing because they had leprosy, which wasn't treated right away. In some places in Africa, it is still very much present and it's not treated. And so people suffer greatly because of this disease. And almost always they are cut off from other people and not allowed to be around them. All right, so I'm going to read to you from Leviticus 13, which talks about what, this is the law of Moses, what God told Moses about how those people are to be pronounced unclean and then what their contact with people is going to be. So Leviticus 13:44 says, the priest must pronounce him unclean, his disease is on his head. And then it says, the leprous person who has a disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, unclean, unclean. He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. And so what a just a disease to isolate someone from all kind of human comfort and all. And then when the person was healed of their leprosy, if it went away, which could also be some of the other skin diseases, the person was supposed to go to the priest and be declared clean. So the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this is in Leviticus 14 verses 1 to 3, this shall be the law of the leprous person for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. Then if the case of leprous disease is healed in the leprous person, and then there's multiple verses about some very specific sacrifices and ways of healing and dipping of blood and touching earlobes and toes and everything. But it ends in verse 18 with, then the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord. The priest shall offer the sin offering to make atonement for him as to be cleansed from his uncleanness. And so again, there's a sense of leprosy represents sin and how we need to have atonement for our sin. When Jesus healed this leper, he was doing a couple of things. Hopefully, it definitely shows, this passage shows that Jesus has that authority over uncleanness. And we're going to find later on that he definitely has authority over our sin because his death on the cross was accepted by God the Father because he rose again from the dead. What I'd like us to do is also focus on the passage a little bit more. And when we look at what the leper did after Jesus talked to him, Jesus told him not to tell anyone. And so, but he didn't. He disobeyed. He went around telling everyone. And it seems to kind of make it a little more difficult for Jesus to teach and preach because everybody was trying to find him because they wanted a miracle and not they weren't, again, focused on his teaching. There's another little part that's interesting in here, and that's when Jesus told the man to go to the priest for your cleansing that Moses had commanded, and then it says, for a proof to them. And as we look at that and think about it, yes, if the priest saw the leper who had been cleansed and healed and agreed, yes, you are free of your leprosy, then the priest would also have to acknowledge that the person who had caused the healing was very special and very connected to God, and this was a miraculous healing. And so in the sense that if the man actually did go to the priest and was declared clean, but the priest himself rejected the healer, then it shows that it would be a proof against the priest that he did not accept the Messiah, God's agent who is here on the earth. And so we're ending this section with, again, what Jesus is doing in human history. He shows that he has authority over this uncleanness, actually over sin. And at home, if you want to, you can read the two accounts in the Old Testament about leprosy, about Miriam and Naaman, and just kind of think about what does it mean to be healed of your sin.
Oh, that is a fantastic lesson. Connie Stample, thank you so much for teaching today. This was lesson 6. If you're looking for the notes, look for the one titled Jesus Preaches in Galilee and Cleanses a Leper. It's from Mark chapter 1, verse 35 through 45. We're going to talk more about this when we come back.